visiting today. We really hope and pray that you'll get something from Christ that will help you in your walk with God. If you've come for several weeks or maybe even several months, we hope that you're finding connection. And we hope that you're finding a place where you can settle in some measure, not settling too much, but to settle in. And if you've come for a year or 2 years, you know, I was just thinking about this the other day. It would be interesting to sit down with people that have come just for a short time, for a couple months, and try to find out what is it that you were looking for? What's the story? What's the story that brought you to this place? And are those things, are your needs being met? I guess is the way of saying that. Are you finding what we will call home? Okay. Are you finding a place where you can just connect and be a part of, where you can receive and also give out what God has given you? I don't know about, I've struggled with this, so this is coming from my heart today as I talk about these things. But I was born and raised in Oregon. We moved here when I was 15, and I felt that my life was just rooted up, just ripped out by the roots. And so it took me a while. I mean, I never felt like a loser. Sorry. If you're an Indiana fan, I never bought into that. And so I had these other allegiances and other things, and it just did a number on me, and I didn't respond very well, to be honest with you. And so for about 5 years, and the seeds were already planted before my life, but for about 5 years, I had a very intense, violent, drug-filled lifestyle. And, you know, I was thinking about it the other day, and kind of wishfully thinking, it would have been so nice to accept Christ when I was 3 years old and get baptized in the Spirit when I was 4, and just, you know, been in the presence of God ever since. I mean, that would be great. But it didn't happen that way. stop in on their way through, and she takes care of them. Well, Elisha was thinking, you know, I wonder what can be done for this lady. She's been so nice and kind to us. And so they call her, and she goes, what can we do for you? Could we speak to the king or to the army commander? And I'm thinking, you talk about open doors. You know, we'll get you connected. We'll get you connected. We can have, you know, these places of resource given to you. It's so interesting and powerful, her response. She says, I'm at home among my own people. I'm at home among my own people. I remember the day, several years ago, not too long could be years, but it was back then. When I was filling out a form, at the bank, you get on the line and you fill out this form, and they ask you what your favorite city is. Tell where your heart's at. it's just a kind of part of the password. And when I put down Goshen, for me that was big. That was huge. Okay, I'm home. I'm here. I belong at this place. There are so many people that they're kind of transient in their souls. They're kind of just not really feeling like they fit in. They go from place to place, and they're looking, and they're receiving here, and they're receiving there, but they're not really planted in a fellowship and a community of believers that really care for them. I've been so privileged, and Sober Recovery has helped me immensely in this area. But I'm so privileged to have brothers and sisters that understand me, that they really get it. They know what I'm going through. They understand the struggles. They understand that part. And I can look at them and say, I'm so glad you're my brother, you're my sister. We're on this journey together. And so coming home is huge. In fact, at Celebrate Recovery, and I'm sorry, I'm really not putting a little plug here. For the other ministries that are outstanding, a year and a half ago, we came up with target areas. I mean, there's so much you could target in a ministry. We came up with four areas. And the first area that we put down that we wanted to really target and work on, put the quadrant up and have four that we were going to zero in on, was we put in big words, home. A place of God's mercy. Where you can walk through these doors, and you can sense and feel God's mercy. One of the terms we use is our forever family. Our forever family. And so this thing of home and being connected is huge. Now, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about, now, who would I choose as my brother and sister? And the thing about it is, you can't choose. Now, some people try to choose, and that's why they go all over the place looking. But you cannot decide who God saves and brings into the church. There was a young lady together, this last summer. She was going to college, and she asked me about some of the things that she would be facing. Just was wondering. And I said, well, it'd be good to find a good community of Christians. And I could tell she was kind of struggling with that. And I said, you can't choose who your brothers and sisters are. I remember sits down with her, and he talks about living water. Now, this is a license to go out and do those things, okay? But he talks to her about the living water. And within a half an hour, probably no more than an hour, he's revealing to her some of the deepest insights of worship that we have in Scripture. It wasn't given to Peter or Paul. It wasn't given to her because she went 10 years of seminary. Within a half an hour, he's telling her, God, those who worship, the time is coming and now is. And those who worship God will worship him in spirit and in truth. To this woman, why is he wasting those insights? He's not. See? The title of the sermon was Seeing Through God's Heart. God can speak to anybody. God can reveal his heart to anybody. No. He's telling her. Now just think about it. Think about what he said. He said, the time is coming and now is. So worship time is 24/7. Now maybe you see on the sign with different worship places, you know what the time of worship is. You know that that's the place. Well, Jesus said, it's always. We always live in the now, right? It's now. Now is the time to worship. And the place to worship is not a geographical place. It's not in this building. It's not in any place. It's not a geographical place, the place to worship. The place to worship is in spirit and in truth. That's the place of worship, now and in spirit. She just barely got to know him. She's not even a day old in the Lord. And she's carrying this revelation of worship and what worship is. It blows my mind. It really does. Who Jesus talked to and who he revealed himself to. You know, I'll never forget, and just kind of a personal thing, you know, I'll never forget the night I gave my life to Christ. I was in a basement, this guy praying for me, okay? And I don't know what, it was late at night, and I had had it. And God said, he'd had it. Basically, he said, it's now, or it's never. I mean, that was, just came over me like a ton of bricks. And so I quickly go over to this guy's house. And I'm in the basement, and he comes down, and we pray the prayer, and he says, you know, Jared, when you accept Christ, he says, but now, Christ wants to be manifested in your soul, and spirit, soul, and body. I'm not even an hour old in the Lord, and the whole thing of spirit, soul, and body is right there in front of me. Why would God waste that revelation on a long-haired, drug-free friend in a basement? But that's God. God doesn't look at did you know, if you've accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have a full-grown Jesus living inside your spirit. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. When you've accepted Christ into your life, Jesus comes into your spirit, he's full-grown. He wants to express himself then through your soul to the world around you. Part of what I wanted to share, and I didn't know if we'd have time to just make mention of it, in seeing the way God sees, not the way man sees, is that we've been trained from little up to live according to our five senses, physical senses. So we have touch, taste, handle, don't touch, feel. So our souls are poised outward. Our souls are being affected by our five physical senses and the information that we receive from them. Part of redemption, part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in coming into our souls is wanting to turn the soul to the Spirit, to the full-grown Jesus that can speak and manifest himself been said that when man looks to do something, he looks for a better method. How can we get this done? What's the method? When God looks to get something done, he looks for a person. He looks for a man. He looks for a lady that he can work for. That's how God works. That's how he works. And he did through the woman at the well. She went out. You know, if I'm an evangelist and I've heard straight up, you know, I'm just kind of messing around with this morning. If I'm an evangelist and I go into a city, what am I probably going to do? I'm going to rent a facility and get the word out, and that's good. You have people come and you preach, and that's the way we do. In this particular case, Jesus used one person and shared with her his heart. He saw something in her. Okay. Another person I want. As my sister, I'm picking on the ladies. You know, men, we can learn things from the Bible and talk about the ladies, okay? Because we expect them to learn from the man, right? Okay, so another person I want to have in the fellowship is Martha. I love Martha. I was going to say I was married to her, but I want to put my wife on the spot. She has taught me so much. She has taught me so much. The reason I say that is because Martha was a wonderful host. Martha was a wonderful host. She loved to entertain. It was her house that Jesus came to. You read that in Scripture. It says Martha came to her house. She had a sister that she was taking care of. She was responsible when people showed up to serve. Okay? And one day she gets distracted with her service. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been so involved in service that you got a little distracted? Has anybody been anxious? You've been worried at all? Okay. You get a little distracted. That's a spiritual word for a worry. But I was concerned. And she said, "Are you worried?" And you know, I'm sanctified on the cover. Not worried at all. Just concerned. So, I had to have somebody else call me out. Such be anxious for nothing, but I'll just not give it to you. But not too long ago, something took place in my life, and it got a little distracting. And I was really concerned. And you know, when you wake up at 12:30, 1 o'clock at night, some struggle involved in prayer and seeing the hand of God move. But you know, that a rash began to develop about 2 months ago. And I don't know what it was. I thought maybe some bug was attacking me at night or something. You know, they do come out at night. And they feed on us. So I throw that out this year. So, they asked me at work, and it started to break down about the last, the spider got me last spider. You know, something happened there. It didn't go away. I explains to me how there are things in the nerve endings that get put there because you have chicken pox, and he gives me all the medical stuff about it and how then stress, fear stress, releases those things. Now, sometimes we're under stress and don't even know it. You know? So, Martha was one. I think she has some legitimate concerns. I'm trying to justify myself. But she was distracted about much serving. There were things going on in her life, projects she had to do. Things were running from one thing to another. She didn't know how to create space in her life. Things were bumping into each other. And so things were overlapping. You never have two things that you needed to be at the same time. You know? Things overlap, things run together. Martha didn't know how to create space in her life to wait on God, to spend time in prayer, to seeking God. And that's so important in our lives. Now, the thing about Martha is, and this is what I want to bring up, this is really what excites me about her, is that so oftentimes our concept of Martha and the identity that we've given her is on one incident in her life. It does not tell the whole story. It does not tell the whole story. Her brother died and was in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus comes up one day and says, she gets up out of the house. It's noticeable that Mary's staying in the house. She gets up out of the house and she goes after him. I like that about a sister of the Lord. She goes after him. But God, if you had met him, my brother wouldn't have died. And here again, Jesus gives one of the greatest revelations of himself, not to Peter, James, or John, not to Paul, not to Mary, the one that soaked in his presence. He gave one of the greatest revelations of himself to Martha. He said, Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. Powerful revelation. See, we stereotype things. We say, well, this person can hear from God because they really know how to soak and they know how to read God's presence. And this guy over here that's just running around trying to make all the ends meet, how could God speak to him? Well, God does. God's not respecting persons. So it's the Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. Tremendous revelation. And not only does he speak it to her and give her this revelation, but then he demonstrates it to her. She experiences her revelation. And oftentimes I found in my own life, my revelation is way down the road, and my experience is way back here. I know Jesus died on the cross. I know he shed his blood. I know he bore all my sicknesses and suffering. He does murder because I've experienced that person in my life. That doesn't always meet up with the revelation, my reality. Martha met up with the reality of her revelation. Jesus called Lazarus out. It's interesting that it's the discourse between Martha and Jesus. Jesus said, "Oh, where is the woman?" Martha said, "Hey, nothing's been stained." And Jesus told her, "Didn't I say, if you believe that you're the Lord of God, I was given to Martha, not to Mary?" That's who I love, my sister. That's who I want to love alongside. Martha, sir, gone were the anxieties. Gone were the distractions. You don't read anything about the distractions. All you see are those two words. Martha, sir. It was her house. She was the hostess. And she was doing a fine job of ministering and loving the guests that had come. Martha, sir. There's another guy that went up quickly, and his name is David. Okay? David is a guy that, I don't know, he just continually challenges me. Now, his call is where you have the, I don't know if there's soon enough, in the teaching notes. Okay? When David was called, the things I've been talking to you about is really, or it came from this verse. If you look in your teaching notes, in the bulletin, Samuel has come to Jesse's house to call the next king of Israel. And Samuel thinks that maybe one of these guys before him is the guy. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. I love that. God, he's just saying, people look one way, God looks another way. And I have found as I've read Scripture, I've walked with the Lord, sometimes I am totally scandalized by God. Sometimes the way I'm thinking and I'm thinking the way it should be and the way I'm seeing things somehow just, you know, is a little bit different. God's ways are a little bit bigger. God's heart is a little bit larger than my heart is. I don't see the things that he sees because man looks on the outward and God looks on the heart. Now, David, the thing I like about David, there's many things. David had a passion for the presence of God. He had a passion to see God's glory manifest in all the earth. David had such a passion that he got the ark, which was the sacred place that Israel had in the tabernacle that Moses made in the wilderness with a veil over it. He took that ark and he pitched a tent for it in Zion, which was the fortress inside Jerusalem. And he pitched a tent. It was wide open. It was wide open for anybody to come and to worship. The Ark of the Covenant was right there. No veil was there. That was up in Shiloh where the tabernacle was set up. And so David had a passion for the presence of God and for worship. You know, if you want to go back to the first slide, we talk about encountering God, encouraging one another, and engaging the world. David not just wanted to encounter God, he wanted to engage the world. And so here he is. He's got the ark right there that he can come in and worship. But he says one day, I want to build a house for God. I want to build a house for God. Can you imagine that? Anybody want to build a house for God? David wanted God on the earth. Yeah. So I'm going to build God a house. And the prophet said, okay, do whatever's in your heart. And God spoke, you know, you're not the one. But it's interesting how God responded to David. It's like he said, David, where'd that come from? He said, when did I ever speak to my people about building me a house? Where'd that come from? God didn't even own it. But he loved it. He blessed it. He used it. And that's, isn't that amazing? When I look out of the congregation, I see many much for the nations that James, in the New Testament, when they're talking about the Gentiles coming into the church, says, this is what was spoken in the last days. No one will rebuild the tabernacle of David. David's heart was for the nations. It was for the world. My best times to come. Titus is a David. I could have chosen 20 other guys or people. And only got a mic. And I've asked him to share for 5 minutes because I need one at the end.
That's fine. You can stay up here. I guess Jared had asked me to share a little bit last Saturday when Rachel Hickson was here. She prophesied over me, and if you were here, you know some of what was said. I don't even remember everything. I got the DVD, but she mentioned one thing, and that I was a fire carrier. And Jared asked me to share about that, and I was like, I guess I should figure out what this means. And then Monday, Wyatt Stutzman was praying for me at class, supernatural class, and he was just praying, and he said something like, God, let him ask what it is to carry fire, or something like the same thing that had been prophesied over me. I'm like, well, I better figure this out. And so in my quiet time, I began to ask, and there's probably a lot more to it, but what I felt like he said was that as, I don't like talking about myself, but as I or we burn, we're not the fire, it's the Holy Spirit, but we are on fire. And the level of fire we carry determines how connected we are to the heat source, the Holy Spirit, and the relationship that we have with Him, the intimacy we share, true, real intimacy, not something fake or put on. And it's born out of a relationship with the Holy Spirit, with the Father's heart. And that's my heart's desires, to have an intimate relationship with my Heavenly Father. And any fire ire we carry is born out of that. It's not something we choose to take on. We either have it or we don't, based on our relationship. And I think it says in the Bible somewhere, the Holy Spirit searches the heart of God. And so a lot of times in the morning, I wake up and I'm like, Holy Spirit, what did you find? What do you want to show me about the Father's heart for me or for your people? And sometimes I get stuff. And I think it's also believing that God has our best interest in mind. He really does. He is good. Anything bad is not of Him, because we know He loves us and He has only good things for us. And if we can believe that truly in our hearts, then it opens our door. The doors to our heart wide open, like there's nothing bad coming from my Father. So I open the whole thing up to you. All the good can come. Whether it's a physical thing or financial or spiritual, when we really know that God only has good for us, we can just fully trust Him. And another thing is to trust that we do hear Him and other people do. The simple things, the little things that maybe other people don't think He said or did, that we sometimes overlook. My dad and I like to talk about our little God encounters, and I just wanted to share one. My son Gabriel, he's three and a half, and this was a couple weeks ago when I was at home with my boys, and Marilyn was out, and we were sitting at the table. Asher was done. He was running around, and Gabriel and I were sitting there, and my eye was hurting. I was kind of rubbing it, and Gabriel said, Daddy, does your eye hurt? And I said, yeah, and he's like, he said, why don't you let Jesus throw it in the trash? I said, okay. He's like, should we go to the living room? And I said, yeah, let's go to the living room. And I was like, you tell me where to go. And so he's like, okay. So we got down, we go to the living room. He's like, right here. And we sit down. And he sat down next to me, and it was pretty rare for him. And we just sat there for about a minute. And then he kind of got distracted and got up and started running around. I'm like, okay, I guess we're done. And I got up, and I was like, my eye feels pretty good. Like, no more pain. But Gabriel hears the Holy Spirit. And I've told other stories. I know he does. And so do I. But it's the little things. God showed me why my Christmas lights were shorting out this weekend. So now they're fixed. I didn't know. That's it in a nutshell. But you know, until we try things, until we ask the Holy Spirit for answers about anything, then you begin to develop that relationship, and he can be like, okay, he's listening, he's asking questions, and then you just, his fire, his love just comes upon you. And it's not an earned thing. It's not something you strive your whole life to get. It's how open your heart is. It's how much you desire that love relationship. And, just this last thing, if it's okay, I wanted to share a quick thing and then maybe just pray real fast. You know, there's this thought in man and woman relationships that, well, I think it's in the Bible too, that not to wait in love before it's time. You know, talking about men and women, and that's a good thing. And Jesus Culture does a song, but it talks about Holy Spirit, Father God, come awaken love in me. Your love, come awaken that love. Passion, intimacy, romance that you can have with the Heavenly Father. And if it's okay, I just want to release that. Can I pray? Is that okay? Father, the Pioneer people, we just thank you that you're awakening love. Would you awaken love in our hearts, in our souls, Father, to encounter you, to know you in your true heart for us, that you are good, that you have our best interest in mind, that you want to ignite fire in all of us, that we all carry your fire. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. That's how to be a part of the church. Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes we may walk right into a room and say, oh, I'm at home here. You know, it doesn't have to be a specific location. But God wants to bless us in our fellowship with a sense of belonging. So we have brothers and sisters. I mean, real brothers and sisters. And we can share life together. Let's stand. I just thank you this morning for your people here at Harvest Community Church. God, for your love that you've manifested in so many hearts, so many lives. Lord, for your call that goes out to come to you, to be at home in the presence of the Father, to be at home with one another, to give us that sense belonging and purpose and destiny in you. God, I pray for anyone here that's struggling with that sense of belonging, that sense of connectedness.